Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is happy to let you know that today we have a very special guest, and we're going to be doing something new and different, and I think pretty exciting. So today we are joined by the one and only Mr. Peter Bryant. Peter is a co-owner of Solarian Games and game designer of Cube of Death and Rogue Chess and all sorts of other really cool games and properties out there, including something that he's been working on for quite a while that I think is going to change the way that role-playing games work. But that's not why he's here today. He's here because we are talking about extreme tabletop gaming makeovers. This is the very first episode in our potentially lengthy series about this, and so I want to welcome Peter Bryant. Peter, how are you?
Hey. Glad to be here, Jonathan.
So it's been a while since we talked
this
way. I'm pretty excited that you're here.
Yeah. Ever since I stopped podcasting, I don't like interface with people on podcasts nearly as much as I used to. Every once in a while. It's nice to be a guest and not be the host. The host has to do all the work.
Well, yeah, right. It's so much work doing all the other stuff. Yeah. And you had a pretty intense setup for when you were doing the podcast. And oh my goodness, you were crazy.
Yeah, because I, you know, back when Live was the first thing, like it's even, and now it's gone, basically. I mean, you can do it by yourself, but you can't do it with other people, like Hangouts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when I was doing YouTube Live, it was brand new, and I decided that, matter of fact, I started it right before then, and I decided, I was talking to my partner, Mike, we were doing an audio podcast. I said, hey, man, I want to do, like, live video, and what? I was like, yeah, I want to do our show, but I want to do it live as video. So it was about 8 years ago we started with Justin T, and that was tough. Plus, you know, we didn't even know, like, what it was called at the time. Like, I don't even know if people were calling it live streaming just yet. I'm not really sure
because I was trying to look up
terms so I could figure out my setup, but I had to figure out all this crap on my own. I mean, they had OBS, but OBS was it was still new and it was in its beta stage, so it was really clunky. I would get my setup all done and then we'd get ready to go live for the show and I'd open it and the whole thing would be crashed and I'd have to rebuild my whole scene within like 5 minutes before we went live. I was like, oh no, I lost all my windows and I have to go in and fix it. So yeah, that was a lot of work, Jonathan, a lot of work. And then we also decided that we wanted to have like live audio that I could feed in. I don't know if you've ever tried that, but that is a tricky little widget because you want to record your computer sounds, but all of these streaming softwares and stuff, they actually purposely keep out your audio from your computer because if it blended it in, then it would blend in the stuff you were hearing, the stuff you were broadcasting, be a mess. So you have to go through a special setup to get that. Nowadays, it's simple. It's really, really simple. They got all these setups for back. Then I was using all this beta stuff and it was tricky. I mean, there were some professional quality things I could, but I didn't have, you know, $2,500 to spend on a piece of software to do it. So, it was crazy. I'm kind of got burned out a little bit. So I'm kind of glad to not be doing it right now. Maybe I'll pick it up again. I think I might do some stuff with Slate.
Well, you know, after doing all that, it's no wonder that you got burned out. Back then it was the Wild West. Like you said, it's easy now. It's almost too easy now for people to be podcasting.
Like this, almost. Like what we're using, StreamYard is awesome. I love StreamYard, right?
Yep.
And there's another one I use, Melon. I like that one. Mm-hmm. But they didn't exist then. And you had to have, it was two different softwares. You had your streaming software, right?
Yeah.
That was different. And then you had your what we get together and talk in, and that was a different software. And then if you wanted to like bring in extra audio from your computer and play like music and stuff, that was another piece of software. So, you know, you'd have to load up like 3, 4, 5 different types of software, depending on the show you were doing. It was insane. And anything went wrong, that's it. The whole thing was screwed up.
Yep.
And then, you know, and they would have technical issues. Like I remember one show we did, Mike could hear everybody and we could all hear him except for the host. The person we were interviewing, our guest. And it was messed up too, because one of our best guests was a guy, Bob Camp, guy did Ren and Stimpy, guy made Ren and Stimpy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We met him at a convention and he agreed to come on the show. So we're doing this show with this like big name guest and the guy can't hear my co-host at all. I had to relay all of Mike's questions to him. And he was so bummed out. He's like, oh, I wanted to talk to Bob. And so it, you know, just all that kind of stuff. And you know, nowadays everything works. It's so good. It's like, oh, I wish I had these.
Life would be so much easier starting now as opposed to in the dark ages.
But you know what? it comes with its own curse, right? Because now that it's so easy, I mean, like literally everybody's down. I mean, I thought there were a lot of podcasts out there when we started, you know, it just seemed like everybody was doing podcasts. And now it's like, it's not just seems like everybody's doing podcasts, everybody's doing podcasts. And the competition is so intense because you've got celebrities now, all these celebrities now wanting to do podcasts because you got your, you know, your, everybody's listening to them now. Back then I would say, hey, I got a podcast. What's a podcast? You know, now everybody's like, everybody, you know, mechanics are listening to podcasts, you know, construction workers are listening to podcasts. So it's really flooded it. So it's a lot of competition, really hard to get listened. Fortunately for you though, my friend, you started early and built your core audience. You had a nice laser focus show. Like you do wargaming, right? Like, like we were doing all kinds of stuff, science and gaming stuff. So we were all over the, so it was really hard for us to build one core audience. Half our listeners liked half our shows and the other half liked the other half of the shows. And there were very few that liked all of them just because they were all over the place. You, my friend, stuck with it.
Ooh, I like to say I was too stubborn and I got people before they knew they could escape and go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So today you're here though, because not because of all the podcasts and stuff, although it's pretty interesting, but you're here because we're trying something new out. We're trying a premise where people get an imaginary budget of 5,000 imaginary dollars, and you get to spend that any way you can and want to legally enhance your gaming however you see fit.
Yeah.
And so you took this $5,000, and I presume you have an overall kind of theme for your spending. What was your theme? What did you want to do? How were you hoping to enhance your gaming, make it over?
So I'm a role player. Pretty much that's pretty much all we do. We me and my group pretty much just tabletop role playing, school like game, like you know, not old school games. We play a lot of games. We're playing a, but it's always, you know, dice and characters. We sometimes get into skirmish type games. Like you guys do war game, like you and your audience pretty much are really heavy on war games and stuff. And I don't consider things like Battletech, Car Wars, those types of games. I don't really consider them war games, more like skirmish games, you know, because I don't know, they're kind of different, at least in field. So we do some of that. We do some skirmish gaming. We do some, mostly do tabletop gaming. So that's what my build is around. So it's built around a group of friends who come together at the table and either put big robots on the board, or we just go through dungeons.
So what does your setup look like now? Before the makeover, what is it? What are you working with for things, right?
Okay, so I have we bought a house 2 years ago, and we took the money that we had some escrow. So we took some of the escrow from the house that we had before, and we took all of that and put it into our basement, because we bought a house with an unfinished basement. Mm-hmm. We finished the whole basement. And my wife does newborn photography, so she has a photography studio on one side, and on the other side is the game room. And in the game room is a pretty big open room. And I have a TV in one corner, like a big screen TV in one corner, with a couple recliners there to watch movies. Over on the other side, I have a long coffee table with two couches. So a couch, you know, on each side of the coffee table. And they're big couches. They easily sit, I mean, very comfortably sit three people. So we could sit six people. And then, of course, you can always put a table. You can put a chair on the end if you want to have a seventh player. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have to kind of bend over to the coffee table. It's not exactly the right height. It's not like sitting at a dining room table. I have a dining room table, but, you know, if we play upstairs where my dining room table is, it disturbs my wife and my daughter and stuff. So we go down in our little game room and play. So it's an okay setup, and it's fine. Everybody likes it. You know, there's nothing wrong with it, other than it could be a little more comfortable, but you know, I'd have to go buy some, you know, nice chairs and stuff. And honestly, the way it's working right now, I'm happy to just have it. It's not worth the extra investment, unless somebody was giving me $5,000.
So then going from your existing setup of coffee table, couches and so forth, what was the first thing you knew you had to get to upgrade your setup?
All right. So there was two things. I knew I wanted a better table, and I knew I needed a better chair. So those two were a must. I had to have better chairs and table and better chairs.
So what did you do for a table? Because there's a lot of different options out there in the market. People do wood. They make their own. They have all sorts of stuff. You can buy fancy ones from wherever.
Right. So I knew I could blow the whole $5,000 budget on one of these fancy gaming tables that people sell. They're awesome, right? But I also, I'm not the biggest fan of them because they always kind of dip in and... Mm-hmm. Because we have character sheets and stuff, it's, you know, some of them have places where you can put your character sheet and write on it, but most of them just kind of have like a ledge. And like, where do you write on your character? I still have that issue. And then, like, where do you roll your dice? Do you dump them down into the table where all your figures and stuff are? Again, not a big deal. Some of them have drawers and stuff. But I was like, no, you know what? I'm an engineer and I work for the U.S. Army and we build prototypes and stuff. And one of the things that one of our big tools that we use when we're building prototypes, if it has to be like, if the structure itself, like you're building, let's say you're building a box with electronic gizmos, right? Mm-hmm. If the box is unimportant in that, like, it's not really part of the design, it's really kind of housing the thing that you're building. So you can make it out of anything. That doesn't matter. Then we use this stuff called 80-20. 80-20 is like we call it the adult erector set. So it's technically it's called extruded aluminum.
Okay.
So they're rails. They're almost always square. I mean, they have rectangular ones. In my case, I'm going to use the square ones. So it's a square rectangle, and you can buy it in length. So I can buy, I think, up to 10 foot lengths, I believe.
Wow.
And then they have slots in them, and then there's this hardware that goes down into the slot that can receive a screw. And then so what you do is you cut these things to the length that you want, and then you put them together, and there's fasteners like corners and stuff that you can put on there, and you slot in your receiver for the screw. You're basically slotting in like a nut, but it's on a slot. So you slot that in, and then you screw down the piece, and then it holds it together. Again, just like, you know, a lot like an erector set, if you guys ever had an erector set. Kind of like adult Legos, but they don't snap. You got to screw them together.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so easy to change out. So if you don't like the design that you did, or you want to move something a little bit or whatever, or you want to cut it down, it's easy. You just unscrew it, cut it, put it back together again. Or you can disassemble it, take it to some location that you want to go to, and then reassemble it quickly. They all have the same screwdriver. It's a hexagonal screwdriver. They all use the same one for every screw. But you can also buy hinges, and you can buy panels that slide in. You get, I mean, every, like, all kinds of stuff, wheels. You can build just about anything with these. We'll share a picture of it on your website or whatever. But if you look for it in industry, like if you're anywhere, like in any kind of factory, or you look at some 3D printers, or, I mean, maybe even some stuff sold on the market, you're going to go, oh my God, they use 80-20 everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right? I see it everywhere now that we started using. So at any rate, point is, I can build a custom table, not cheap, because the stuff is not super cheap, but I can build it any way I want to. So what I did was I measured it out. It has to fit another thing we're going to talk about in a minute. And then, like, all these fasteners and stuff that fasten all together, all the stuff that I wanted in it. I'm not putting any wheels on it because I don't want to wheel it around, but I could if I want.
So how big is the table? Like, this makes a frame, right? That's what you're doing. You're making a whole frame.
Yes.
With the 80-20.
Yes.
And what is it? It's like 4 feet, 6 feet long?
So to fit the thing that I want to, that is being built around, mm-hmm. It needs to be a minimum of about 76 inches, which is, oh God, here I'm going to go. 72 is what, 6 feet? So it's got to be a little bit longer than 6 feet. It's got to be a little bit wider than 4 feet. So about 6x4, or it could be bigger. I kind of built it. I think I built it at like 8x4 to give a little bit of extra distance on it. I could fit it. Well, you know what? No, 8's not going to work. It's not going to fit my basement. So we'll go 6 foot. So 6 foot by 4 foot.
6x4. Okay. Mm-hmm. And to get the 80-20, that costs about how much for all what you need?
Yeah, the 80-20 for everything I need. This is everything. This is all my fasteners, all my little bolts and nuts and all that kind of stuff. Everything to put this thing together, $600.
That doesn't sound bad. So
no.
Does someone go to like a hardware store? Like, oh, where do they
go? No, I've never seen this in any stores. You can order it online. There's 8020.net is where I buy it. There's another place. You can buy it other places, but it's generally more expensive at other places because they pretty much buy 8020 and then resell it. So I would just go to 8020.net and buy it. And you can spec out your whole thing yourself. And you can cut the stuff. So like I was saying, cutting it, right? Mm-hmm. You can cut it with a circular saw. So any circular saw that you want that you have. You cut it with a jigsaw if you want. You're not going to get as clean a cuts. Or a table saw. You can use a table saw. Just use a metal bit. Any metal bit, metal blade cutter, whatever. It cuts it up real nice. It cuts real easy.
I saw a YouTuber once do this. They do art restoration. And so they had moved into a new warehouse. And they wanted to make their own heating table so that they use this, and just like you're talking about, and they spec out the frame and all that kind of stuff, and they put wheels and all the whatever in the video, show them actually building and so forth. And then when they were done, they had, you know, to surface in, and then made their own heating table, and they needed that because they might have to like heat up, say, a painting or whatever to get solvents to work differently to clean it or whatever, or get stuff to set. So they wanted a really specific size one. I think it was pretty big. And so they made it out of this stuff, and it was fascinating to watch. But you're right. A rector set for grownups.
You don't have to be, well, I think like you can make a wood table, right? But you have to be kind of a craftsman. You got to have a ton of tools to make a wood table.
Yep.
Like, and I don't have, I just don't have those skills. I'm not a furniture man. And I certainly don't have those tools. I would go through a lot. I would destroy a lot of wood trying to make a wooden table. And then the thing would be wonky, right? It'd be all like, because this got like little feet you can screw in and you can adjust them. Yep. So that, you know, if one leg is like a tiny bit too short, you don't get that wink wink with the table when you like, you know, like when you're in a restaurant, you got to put like a napkin under the foot of the table so it doesn't like rock. You can just get little feet that unscrew, you know, to the height that you want them, so you can just level the table out really easy. You know, another thing I could have done was, and I wouldn't do this, but I could if it was that important to me. If we played a lot of skirmish matches and a lot of role playing, like if it was like 50-50, I would actually put in a system to where I could just loosen up a couple bolts and lower or raise the table and then bolts back up again. So that way you could have a standing table or a lower table. It'd be easy to do that. But that was, mine doesn't include.
So then this gives you the whole frame, right? And the frame is just like a brushed aluminum kind of look, right?
Yep.
So I presume if you wanted, you could paint it if you wanted to. That's not in your list, but if one wanted to.
Well, I'm not going to paint it because I'm going to, you can get it, you can get it in, there's a couple colors you can get it in. I'm going to get mine in black, so my table will be black.
Okay. And then this gives you the frame, but it doesn't give you a table surface. So for that, you have another idea, right? What are you doing here?
I do. I'm going to buy an 85-inch TV screen, smart TV. Wow. And I'm going to lay it down in there. So some of the cost in the table build was some brackets to hold it so the TV sits on sits in place and doesn't go anywhere. Okay. And then I'm going to put a piece of plexiglass over top of the whole thing. So I don't have to worry about people damaging the TV or like, you know, spilling a drink or scratching it or whatever. And if something happens to plexiglass is cheap. I could take that off and put a new piece. I'm just going to screw it down.
Okay.
And so now I've got a TV screen and I can hook my laptop up to it and I can drop boards on there, drop hexes, drop whatever, terrain, you know, do a VTT, you know, like a virtual tabletop, one of those. I don't use what's the one, Roll 20? I don't use Roll 20.
Yeah, a lot of people use Roll 20.
But I could. I mean, you could, and I could hook it up, and I could operate it from my laptop. It would be awesome.
So what TV did you go for? You said it was an 85-inch one, right?
Yeah, I went for the Sony 85-inch 4K Ultra HD TV. I like Sony. I've always loved Sony products. They're always very solid. And I wanted the 4K because it's not a computer monitor, it's a TV. So I wanted to get the maximum resolution I could get on a TV because, you know, computer monitors are super high resolution. It's usually why they're more expensive. So I want to get as close as I can to that.
And so what does this TV do for you that, say, another 85-inch TV doesn't do? You said it's 4K, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a smart TV, so I could watch, you know, you could watch movies on it. Not that you want to sit over, look down on the table and watch movies, but you can play videos. But no, you can hook it into you can hook it into the internet, so you can go to YouTube and stuff like that because it's a smart TV.
So like it has Wi-Fi or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, what about ports? Does it give you like access for external?
Oh yeah, it's got
memory to put in or
No, you can't put memory in it. But see, I'm planning on hooking. I'd use my laptop and hook it.
Okay.
But you can hook directly from your laptop
in. So like you could hook your laptop in, or if you had a video camera or something like that. You had something you want to play, maybe.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. You probably could do that. I'm not sure.
Because I imagine it must have a bunch of HDMI ports, I presume, right?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
And would you do Wi-Fi on it, or would you want to run wired internet to it?
No, I would do Wi-Fi on it. It's a smart TV, so it's got Wi-Fi. I don't have any LAN cables or anywhere to hook in my basement. My whole house is all Wi-Fi'd up. Yeah, okay. I would use it.
And then you mentioned that you could use like a virtual tabletop with it, but that you wouldn't have to. So what is really, for those who don't know, what's the benefit of using a smart TV like this for your tabletop as opposed to just a regular tabletop?
So you don't have to like use physical maps.
Okay.
You don't have to use, you can still put your figures on top. So if you want to use figures, you could use figures, or you could If you were running this off of like one of these virtual tabletops, you could have your figures on it and move, you know, they, mm-hmm. that would be a little clunky though, because then people would have to say, hey, game master, I'm going to move to this square, and then you'd have, first one have to move it. I mean, I suppose they could use their laptop too. As I said, I don't have this right now, so I haven't planned all of this out.
Yeah.
But I'm certain it would be possible to have other people, you know, get into the virtual tabletop on their laptops and move their pieces around. I foresaw it as I would get electronic maps, and I would display them on this TV, and okay. then people could move their figures around. And then I could even do like the fog of war type of thing, where I could have areas blanked out, and as people move into certain areas, uncover them. So that's like the big benefit. So like, if you got a, let's say you got a dungeon you want people to go through. I don't really play too many fantasy games, but I'm just gonna use a dungeon because most are with that. Mm-hmm. So if I had like a dungeon and people are moving through the dungeon, I could have every room blocked off that they're not in by using, like, I mean, I could display Photoshop and like have layers having things turned off. So then as they move into a room, I unblank it and they can see what's in there. And if a monster pops out, I can just drop a monster on the board. But then again, you know, they could put their figures on there. So it just gives you a lot of flexibility. There is likely that I would probably migrate to a virtual tabletop, only because I know a lot of them have these features. I just haven't played with them a whole lot. Mm-hmm. If I had this set up, I would probably spend a lot more time playing. You know what I mean? Because like I said, we get together, sit around a dining room table.
Yeah.
But if I had this, I would mess around with it and see what all I could do with it. Maybe I wouldn't need figures, or maybe I'd use the best of both. You know, I'd use the virtual tabletop for all the stuff it has and then put figures on the table just because I like having.
No, I like to look at figs on a table myself, yeah. but I know everyone's right. different. Some sure. people prefer more of a theater of the mind kind of thing. Some people just want it all digital. A lot of ways to go.
And the beautiful thing is you don't ever have to use the TV if you don't want to, like, because it's not like, again, while it is the center of the table, you got a piece of plexiglass over, it can just be a table.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And since the plexiglass is there, I'm presuming the TV doesn't have touch features on because it's a TV, yeah. but you don't really need it because the plexiglass is.
Right. Yeah. I had looked at large screen, like large touch screens, and they're just
like a Wacom or something.
Yeah. They're just not cheap. I'd have bought my whole budget just on that screen easily. They do have them, and they have some for like business stuff, but they're like, it would be too much work. I think this works out. You know, this would be good for me. I would have to, if you, there's large touch screens, they have some of them, they have them in, they're already in pre-built structures, and they're for like, you know, taken to like conference and stuff, or they're very specifically built for a purpose. And I felt like looking through them, I felt like, it's too much work. I'll just do it this way works.
No, that makes perfect sense. So I know someone, the name will ring a bell to you, and of course Alyssa is as well. Alyssa Faden uses a gigantic Wacom for her yeah. map making and cartography and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's gigantic, it's huge. I mean, but it's also the whole computer. Right. But again, it has a touch screen, so you can do all that, the pinch and zoom and all that sort of stuff. And it's quite expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I have one at work. I have the one I have is called a Cintiq. I have one of those at work.
And, yes.
When I want to get in there and do, I got to, you know, do some graphic work, I drop it on my Cintiq and go to town. But even then, I mean, the Cintiq is only so big, you know, it's as big as a good size computer monitor.
Yeah.
And that thing is thousands of dollars.
And not as big as the TV screen.
Right.
Which is great because, like you said, if you're fitting six people playing, right, and then you have this gigantic table, you want to give a lot of real estate.
Sure.
You don't want them crowded around a
no.
large but significantly smaller computer monitor and be like, oh, well, here's this and here's that.
Right.
You want to give them a little more room. So this fits into your custom table that you build using 8020. That'll be black. Mm-hmm. And it's $600 for you to get the 8020 stuff. How much did you find the TV for?
That was $1,200.
And where do you get that for $1,200? Like, do you go to like?
Oh, I found it on Best Buy.
Okay.
I'm sure I could find. Possible I could find it cheaper. I'm sure Best Buy is not the cheapest place in the world, but I got a Best Buy right down the road, and I'm a little leery having a TV shipped. I don't know. I've gotten stuff from Amazon, and I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want something big and electronic shipped by you guys.
So, I wasn't sure where you had come up with it. So I looked, and Amazon does have it. We'll have a link to that, an affiliate link to it. Okay. It is more than what yours was.
Oh, but, okay.
For me personally at home, we had upgraded our TV not long ago. We got a smart TV from Amazon, had it shipped, and it was the best packaging I've ever seen in my entire life anything. It was absolutely beautifully done.
Nice.
And the TV it's not a $1,200 TV, but yeah. It wasn't cheap either. I mean, for us, it was expensive and beautiful TV. It's one of their, whatever they call them, TVs, like Fire TV lines, I don't know, some fancy new thing. And it works wonderfully. So I would recommend the packaging of how ours was, but you're right. It can be scary getting something like that shipped. Like what if
probably could have gotten cheaper if I got like a Vizio or these other brands, which nothing against them really. They're probably
could be fine.
But you gave me $5,000, so I can buy top of the line if I want. So I'm
absolutely, that's what this is all about. Like what kind of thing? Like really, how are you gonna enhance your gaming? Because the thing is, you don't want to just do it for now. And then you're like, well, a year or 2 years from now, you got to change it. This would last you for a while.
Oh yeah,
and get a lot of gaming. So you got a place to game at. Actually, I got a question for you about the table. So you were mentioning how you can get fancy like wooden tables or what other tables made,
right?
But then with like writing on your character sheet or like where to put a drink or whatever, how did you adapt your custom table design for things like that? So would people just put their character sheets flat on the table?
Just put it right on the table.
And the same with like drinks and stuff, or this
drinks and stuff, it's plexiglass.
So like there's not like cup holders anywhere or whatever, you don't have to worry. Right. Okay.
And so, the table's made out of aluminum, right? So it's gonna be really hard to damage. This is a durable, you could put this thing in a workshop.
Yeah. So before you call anything durable, one, you have to make sure I'm not gonna be anywhere near it. And two, you gotta make sure I'm not gonna be alone with it for like 10 minutes because I tell you, unintentionally, I will destroy your table.
So
I'll be like, hey, let's look at this.
You're like an army guy. I can drop you in the desert naked and you could break an anvil in 5 minutes.
I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's all going to be ruined. Right. And it'd be awful.
Well, it's resistant.
No, that's good. So when I show up with my Thai takeaway and have my curry, it's all good. Yeah. We don't have to worry about it going everywhere. It's just.
You get your Cheeto fingers on that thing, I'll just wipe it down.
And the Mountain Dew that I don't know
why people drink that stuff. No problem.
It goes all good. So you get.
Glass is Mountain Dew proof.
That alone makes it gamer approved, right?
Right.
So you got a place around which to game. You got a TV so you can see your cool maps. What's the next thing you want?
Chairs. You want comfortable chairs.
Wait, you want to sit down?
Yeah, because we game for hours, man. We go long.
Well, see, so, I was going to say because you're old, but I mean, can go with the other one.
No, I did even when I was younger. So I went with these, I got these Cadillac of chairs. These McMahon ergonomic executive chairs.
Okay.
Very cushy. They can hold a lot of weight for my bigger gamer friends. They also have a recliner built in. Now it's like a little pad that kind of comes out. So my thing, and I think they recline a little bit. So my thinking was that, you know, if we're gaming and everything, you want to be as comfortable as you can be. But let's say we game pretty late and we've had a few beers and someone's like, you know, I really don't feel comfortable driving home right now. Sure, they could go sleep on the couch or sleep in my guest room or whatever. But if they wanted to, they could just lean that chair back, put the foot thing up, throw a blanket on them, and they could just sleep there until they're ready to go home.
Hey, that's not bad.
But the big thing was is that they're really comfy chairs, and they've got wheels on them to move them around and stuff. So it's something that you can sit in for hours. And I went ahead and bought 8 of them because while I never have 8 players, there is the chance I could. So that gives me 3 on each side, game master chair, and then someone sitting across from me.
I tell you, the chairs look gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Nice thick padded arms, some lumbar support there. You mentioned the that they kind of go backwards a little bit. They're ergonomic, nice swivel to them, extra padding in the seat. Who doesn't love that, right?
Yeah, right.
The armrests are front to back adjustable, and I think it has a weight capacity of 300 pounds, so that's pretty decent.
And you know, it always goes over that. That's just what they're
well, counting. Yeah. So it's probably good to like 350 or something like that.
So if you've got a really big gamer friend, which some of us do,
true,
it can handle it.
And it's just I know when buying chairs, right? This was because not long ago at work, they had some money and they're like, well, they did a big renovation and then they had some money and they decided, well, we're going to see if any staff members want chairs. And so they had some chair options and I contacted our director and I was like, you know, I'd love a new chair, but I'm not a small person. I'm not like gigantic, but like, I'm not a small person. So I'm tall and I need a chair that's really going to fit my needs, especially because since my promotion, I'm basically tied to my desk all day long. And one of the things that my director had me do was to measure. It was something I never thought about, but when you're buying chairs, you actually, this is something you do, was measure the height from the floor to the seat. And for me to find a nice height for that was comfortable for me, because everyone kind of sits differently, whether sure. you're short waisted or whatever. And so like these chairs here, they have a nice floor to seat height ratio.
Yeah, nice.
Looking right. them up, it's 29.9 inches. And then it can go to 13 for the maximum seat height. It's just so you can go up or down, whatever is good for you. You're not going to have some fatigue going on. They're nice chairs. They look really nice.
Man. And so I looked at gamer chairs, because I know a lot of people think about, oh, I'm going to get these like cool gamer, like video game chairs that look cool and everything. And I was just like,
no.
Yeah, but it looks cool. I get that. But I want to be comfortable gaming.
Exactly.
I don't want my back to hurt. I don't want, you know, I don't want to be like distracted when I get in my element by the chair I'm sitting. So yeah, these looked really nice. I like these. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about saving up some money and getting one.
I tell you, it looks gorgeous. They come in black. It's just nice fake leather, so no animals are harmed. Right. For those for whom that's important, just all sorts of really cool stuff about it. And one of the things I like really especially for you is I saw that their daily recommended uses. People might not know, chairs are rated for how many hours, continuous hours, you're allowed to sit in them before right. like you can violate whatever they have. These are for a minimum of 8 hours.
Nice. I didn't even see that. I didn't even notice that. Just
heavy daily usage.
Fantastic.
8+ hours. So I have, for Christmas one year, my wife got me a gamer chair, and she got, I don't remember where she got it from, but it's like an upper mid-level kind of one. I've taken naps in this thing, and it's just, it's great, but it doesn't compare to the chair.
I would suggest to anyone, don't sit in a chair for 8 hours straight.
But, oh, go, know. No. Every half hour, you should get up.
You should walk around a little bit.
Yeah, and for those of you who have a smart watch, I have an Apple Watch, it reminds me that it's time to get up, just in case. Right. And it make sure that you take a few steps and then you step back and you do. But I just like, I'll stretch. So I'll stand up and I'll do like a, and then it just kind of really go. And
yeah, I got a built-in timer. If I'm gaming, I got a really good built-in timer. I got like a baby bladder.
Oh, I was going to say, cause you're old, you probably have to go to the bathroom.
Well, it's not because God damn it with the old. No, it's
I'm old too. Look at me. I know, people can't see, but I get all the gray hair, everything now. I'm old. No.
I've always been this way. I have to go pee every time I drink. If I drink a Coke, I have to go pee. So every drink I have is a trip to the bathroom. So if I drink 4 or 5, whatever you're drinking, I'm drinking Coke usually, then I'm going to the bathroom 4 or 5 times. So my little reminder goes off.
Because you're old. Or it could be a medical condition. Worth getting that checked out if you haven't already.
No, I'm fine. Okay. I've just got a smatter. It actually works really well.
It's very efficient.
Very
efficient. So if someone wanted to buy the McMahon Ergonomic Executive Chair, where could they find them? Where did you find them anyway?
Oh, I found them on Amazon. I found them right on Amazon.
Yep. Amazon. I know I happened to find them on Wayfair. They had all sorts of extra info.
Wayfair. Okay, that's a good place.
And I know Wayfair can be controversial for some people because of a few years ago, some stuff going on with employees, but we make no judgments one way or the other here for that. So you get your comfy chairs, you get your great table frame that you have customized, you get the cool 85-inch 4K Ultra HD TV. That's a X85K series, I believe. Mm-hmm. What more do you need? You get this? You got rules already, right? You're a game designer.
Yes.
You must have dice. So you're done.
Yeah, I don't need any dice or game stuff. I didn't need any of that kind of stuff. This is all literally just for my play area. That's all I needed. So
that's everything, right? Show's over?
Nope.
No, there's more.
There's more. No, wait, there's more.
So, I'd buy that for $1.
Yeah. So I'm gonna I have on my list. If I get on my list, I've got six things. I'm gonna skip down to the conference webcam.
Oh, now this looks really nice.
A Nouroum conference webcam. Nouroum? Yeah, sure, whatever.
I'm making it up. That's its name now. I'm the captain. No.
The reason why I want that, okay, is because recently one of my core players moved down south. He joins us by phone now. Oh. We usually put him on speakerphone, and he plays with us throughout the night. And that's okay, but it also kind of sucks because, you know, he can't hear us quite as well. We don't hear him quite as well. If anyone's talking, I can't hear him. So a lot of times I'm like, wait, everybody shut up. What'd you say, Steve? So this thing has a built-in speaker. It's got a microphone. It does 180. So if we put it in the middle of the table, he hears all of us equally. Oh, nice. And it's also got a webcam in it in case we go with video. I don't think this one has the 360 cam. There was one that did, but I really wasn't sure how that works on the other end. So I was like, I think I'm going to stay away from that one. If somebody wanted to explore with that one, this company actually makes one that has like, I think it's a fisheye lens and it's probably two cameras.
Oh, okay.
Before, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, but apparently it has 360 vision. I don't know how that would work. Maybe you use it with a VR headset or something.
It has a 360 microphone, I think, though.
It does have a 360 microphone, and that's decent. That's really decent. Because I think if you get the right headphones, you can hear where they're coming from. So it's like you're really sitting in the room with everybody.
That's cool.
So I want that so my remote gamer can come in. And then if we ever wanted to let someone else, not let, but you know, if we ever want to invite someone else to join us who is remote, like let's say Jonathan wanted to come play with us one night, it would be very easy to incorporate you in.
Okay.
And with that came, I was like, oh crap, I need another TV then, because I don't want to put them on the TV that's on the table, because I don't want to have to look down at them and then, you know, it'd be just weird.
So I was going to ask about that. I was like, how are you going to see them?
Right. I'm going to get another. This one I'm going cheap with because it doesn't need to be high class. I'm going to get the Vizio 43-inch Class V Series 4K LED HDR Smart TV. Now, all that extra stuff, it's just because that's what TVs come with now. I mean, you can buy a cheaper TV, but why? Mm-hmm. This is only $290.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And that the conference webcam, anyone who's listening to this, if you have people that you play with remotely, and you have any of the issues that we have, that thing is only $150. I'm thinking about getting one of those just to take down to John's house. Because doing this exercise, I was like, oh man, you know what? We would do well with one of those.
You would.
So I might just get one of those anyway. But so that now I've got my remote players can join in. And you can have as many as you want, because with the conference webcam, or not the conference, I'm sorry, with the TV, with the 43-inch TV, can't talk, 43-inch TV, I put that at the end of the table.
Okay. Right,
so we can all see each other, and I would put the conference webcam down there as well, and then that way it's like they're sitting at the table. If it's only them, it's at that end seat, so it'd be like they're just sitting there.
Okay,
it'd be awesome.
So the webcam, it can pick up voices from 13 feet away.
Yes,
I think that's pretty awesome. It's still decent coverage for that, and like you said, the actual camera, it's a 100-degree field. It's amazing.
Yeah. So if they're at the end of the table, they're going to see everybody.
Now, for the TV, though, what is that going on? These things are big. And in your list, I don't see anything for it to be on. Is it just...
I would just set it right on the end of the table.
Okay, so it'll actually be on the table, not...
Yeah.
You're not going to put it in one of the fancy chairs or anything.
No, it's a pretty long table. So I would just literally... I'd just probably just set it right on top of the table.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I could get like a little table to put it on or something. Whatever works out. I don't... You know what? I'd have to figure that out when we get there. Once I set it up, I'd be like, oh crap, they're too close. Okay, I gotta buy something else.
I think
I was left over with a few bucks, so I would buy like a table from IKEA with the few bucks I was left.
It sounds fascinating. The setup is really interesting. So you get the table, you got not one but two TVs,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily being used for TV purposes, which I think is awesome. You get the really cool chairs, right? And then you have this amazing webcam. Mm-hmm. That in calling it a webcam, even calling it a conference webcam, I think is not doing it justice. It just, because you're like, oh look, it's a little tiny camera, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
When
I went looking for it, I wasn't even looking for this. I didn't even know it existed. You put me to this challenge, and I was like, all right, well, I want some kind of conference-y webcam-y thing. And I started digging around, and I found that, and I was like, holy crap, that's awesome. I want one of those now.
Yeah, this is, we hit at work when at the renovation, we rebuilt and built new conference rooms and stuff, and I don't think we have this specific model, but we have things like this in them, and people love it. Mm-hmm. They just head over heels for these kind of things. I think this is awesome. I don't know what I would use one for, but I kind of want one anyway.
All right, yeah. So let's round out our room here.
Okay,
so we've got all this stuff, all the playing stuff is taken care of. You don't need anything else, we got it right. But let's get back to the sodas we were talking about. You know,
yeah, you drink Coke.
Games are run on soda, I think, keeps us awake. And I got to have something to put my rum in. So I'm going with the
We're legal. Drink responsibly.
Yeah, we're legal. Yes. And if you're gaming at someone else's house, make sure you have one of these chairs you can drive and drive.
Or get an Uber or something.
Or get an Uber. Right? I got this. I came up. I found this.
It's just I don't want to get sued. That's right. What it is. And neither do you. No.
I got this Home Labs beverage refrigerator and cooler.
Cool.
It was only $300. Not too bad. And I'm getting two of them because I'm going to put one on each side of the room. So that way, because you know how it is. Somebody gets up to get a drink, right? And everybody's like, hey, can you give me one? Can you give me one? Can you give me one? It's like, so like everybody kind of plays that game of chicken where it's like, I need one, but I don't want to get up because everybody else can ask me. There's one on each side of the room. So if you get up and someone's like, hey, can you give me one? It's like, is the refrigerator closer to you than it is to me? Go get your own. But no, this thing is made for beverages. So it is made for soda can. If you look at the inside of it, I think you probably looked it up. Mm-hmm. Look inside, you could stack, like, I can't even remember, was it 40 cans or something like that? It was a lot.
You can fit 120 cans in the thing.
Oh my God, 120, that's what it was, right?
So
right,
you get in two of them, so you could put 240 cans in there.
That's right. But I mean, I figure people are gonna put other things, I'll probably put, I don't know, somebody brings over something to eat in the fridge or whatever. If we get dinner and there's some left over, we'd ask.
Yep.
I highly doubt we're gonna have 240 cans of
drink. Well, maybe you should.
Maybe you should. So that takes care of our refrigerator needs. And I purposely picked one. I don't, if I remember correctly, because I looked at a bunch of them, but I'm fairly sure this one does not have a freezer in it. And I did that on purpose.
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
At least not the one that I saw.
Because I'm not a digital wasting
thermometer.
I'm not wasting space for a freezer. Right. We don't need a freezer.
Yeah. I don't see why you would want a freezer.
Ice, I mean, I guess for your drinks. That is the one thing. Damn it, Jonathan. You know what I forgot? I was going to get an ice maker. I only had enough money anyway, so that's fine.
No, I don't think you did
either.
But if
I really wanted an ice maker, I would sacrifice one of these refrigerators and give it.
Okay. Why?
Well, just so you have ice for your drinks.
But if it, so hear me out, right? Okay. This is your setup. I'm just
sure.
Clarification. Yeah. So if you are putting the drinks, you put in the beverages in the fridge, right?
Right.
And nice, you've set cold. The digital thermostat to the nice cool temperature, and it has its even cooling in there. And you'd pull it out, it's going to be cold, right? So I know some people consider it like a heathen move, right? That you're savage, but just drink from the can?
That's true. I could, right, because I'm only putting our drinks in there. I could turn the temperature way down so the drinks are really cold.
You could. I think it goes to 34 degrees Fahrenheit.
There you go. And we'd have, and you wouldn't even need ice to water down your drinks. So yeah, there you go. I'm in. We don't need ice. Screw that.
Do you know what's really great to put in there?
What's that?
Again, where and when legal and responsible, but a nice bottle of single malt.
Yeah.
So that way you don't even have to worry about dealing with those whiskey stones or any of that kind of, it's just there, it's ready.
Sure.
And then you pull out a nice bottle of water, some fancy water made from the glaciers that are melting all around us.
Just a tiny bit.
Just a splash.
Yeah, yeah.
And a couple fingers for the grown-ups who are allowed.
Dude, I'm telling you, I would go with the peanut butter whiskey. I don't know if you've had peanut butter whiskey yet or not, but that is a bomb. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's dangerous. Anyone listen, if you get it, don't blame me, because it's so good and smooth. It's easy to drink too much of it.
I do love peanut butter. I think I know one of the things we're doing at TotalCon.
I'm going to bring some. I'll bring some. It'll be awesome. You'll love it. It's so good. I drink that neat.
Oh, there you go.
All right, so
you got your fridges.
Yep.
You got a table, two TVs, no stand for the second TV. You got the chairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that leaves one other thing on your list.
One last thing. So because we're going to be gaming a long time, we might eat something. And then later on, you get hungry as you're gaming and you want to heat something back up, or somebody decides they're going to bring, I don't know, they're going to bring a frozen burrito or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or let's say you want to be like a good host and like have like hot snacks and stuff at the table.
Okay.
I got this thing. This is pretty neat. It's a it's called a Gallants 4-in-1 Toast Wave. It's a toaster oven, but it's also a microwave and an air fryer.
What?
Yeah, you can do it all inside that thing. It's awesome. So I figured, if you're sitting there and you're eating and you're like, yeah, I'm not gonna finish these fries, but then like a couple hours later, you're like, I think I want those fries now. Put them in the air fryer. Boom. It completely revives them, because no one eats cold fries. Cold fries are gross. And if microwave cold fries, they're hot and gross. So, so if you put them in an air fryer, they come back to life. It's like it resurrects them, and you can eat them again. Not McDonald's fries. McDonald's fries, once they get cold, they're done. I'm talking like sub fries.
Yeah.
A McDonald's fry, I mean, you can use it as a weapon when it's so. And that's it, Jonathan. That's all I really need. I'm happy with that. You know, I've got, you know, for the figures that we use, a little bit of figure stuff that we do, a little bit of skirmish matches we do. I've got all my figures already. I've got all my books. I write my own games. I mean, I play other games too. Don't get me wrong. I don't play just my own games. That'd be, but I do, you know, I got enough gaming stuff. So this was just all about my environment. This would make my environment. And I'm pretty happy with this. I think 5,000 was a fantastic number for me. I mean, if I had this, I would have one awesome gaming room. Now, I know some people are going to spend it on their room itself. You know, they're going to want to buy lights or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I've already got that all set up. So I didn't need it because I've got, you know, like I said, we had our basement refinished. So my area, the area that it's going in, is already super nice. I don't need anything to do there. So this covered me, man. So, I think this would be awesome. I want this now.
You're welcome. And I'm sorry to your wife.
Yeah, I know, right?
So why don't we run through this stuff again, just so we can let people know what the things are and where they can get it. So the custom table materials is 8020 extruded aluminum. You mm-hmm. said it's about $600 for what you want, right?
Right.
And that was from 8020.net.
Yep.
And then you got
it. And 8020, it's the numbers, 8020.net.
Yes. And then for your fancy TV, right, you mm-hmm. chose a Sony 85-inch 4K Ultra HD TV from the X85K series. Mm-hmm. And you could get that from Best Buy, you said, for $1,200-ish?
Yeah, I found it at Best Buy for $1,200. I'll tell you what, man, if this interests you at all, just wait till Black Friday. You'll get it cheaper.
That's true. And I know I found the TV on Amazon.com for $1,898 via our affiliate link.
Yeah. Or you could get a 65 inch if that works. You know, if 1200 is, because I'm not buying that TV right now. That's not happening.
No, but still, like, yeah. I think you're right, though. It's one of those things, you want to go as big as you can afford, right? Yeah. And for you, for the $5,000 budget, you went as big as you could afford.
Sure.
It's smart. And of course, it's scalable, right? People can scale up or down if they want to. Oh yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, with this, again, 2020. Mm-hmm. If you need to change, like if you make it a little, you make your table longer,
yep.
But you only make it wide enough for a smaller TV, and you decide to upgrade later, all you need is two more pieces of aluminum, cut mm-hmm. two more pieces to meet the width, right? And you just reformat your table. Done. You don't have to buy a new table.
Well, you could even build the table bigger, right? And then I presume sure. add in a smaller like subframe in there yeah. for the smaller TV, and then you just remove that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I actually wouldn't even really need a frame because the way I got this set up, I had little support bars on the inside of it because I had a little extra room on either side.
There
so
you go.
I literally just, you're just replacing two pieces. Maybe you might have to replace a little bit more, but you're talking less than $100 fix.
That's not bad at all. And so then you picked really fancy chairs, right? The McMahon ergonomic executive chairs. And you said you want to get 8 of them.
Yes.
And you could get them at Amazon for $1,800, you said.
For the whole batch.
For all 8 of them. I yep. found them on Wayfair for $1,295.94 for $215.99 a piece.
Yeah.
And then you have a Home Labs beverage refrigerator and cooler, 2 of those. You mm-hmm. said they cost about $600 for the 2.
It's about $300 each. Again, I found them on Amazon. You could probably find them cheap.
Yeah, I found them on Amazon for $279.97 a piece. Again, we have an affiliate link. We'll share that as well. Of all the things that you mentioned, this is probably what I'm most excited about. The Gallant's 4-in-1 Toast Wave, because I've never yeah. heard of this before in my life.
Right. It's cool.
It is awesome. Was this another one you found on Amazon?
Yeah. Yeah. I found most of my stuff on Amazon just because it was easier to find it there. Yeah.
Yeah. I found one for $283.97 on there again nice. With our affiliate link. Man. I'm curious how big it is, though, because it says it's 1.2 cubic and it's 1,000 watts.
1.2 cubic feet. I think that's a standard microwave size.
Is that a standard size?
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, you know what? I don't know. I could be talking on my butt.
I have no idea. But either way, I mean, unless you're cooking a turkey in it, which I guess you could do, but like.
Yeah, if you're heating up a plate of, again, heating up a plate of fries, cooking up, you know, a burrito or whatever, that's perfect.
And I love when you get it too. So I'm looking at dimensions of this thing and it's 21.25 inches left to right. 22.25 deep and 12.5 roughly high, but it
Dude,
comes
that's
with
decent.
That sounds pretty decent to me. It comes with a silicone cooking mat, a nonstick turntable, and an air fry kit. So you just pop in whatever you want. It's modular, basically.
And I think if I remember correctly, you can do like multiple things. Like it can microwave and then turn, like microwave to heat it up and then air fry to get it crispy on the outside.
That's cool. Yeah, and it has preset things for if you want to toast something or do things with bagels or pizza or whatever. Mm-hmm. You could bake a cake in this thing. That's
nice.
That's crazy. So that was $283.97.
Don't say that because my gamer friends would be like, oh, great. We're going to go over to Pete's house. He's going to make us a cake.
Make him the pizza, and then there you go.
Right.
And so then there's the Narum conference webcam for $150, right? I found it for a little bit more on Amazon. That thing sounds awesome. Yeah. Until you mentioned the 4-in-1 toast wave, I was thinking, this webcam, that's the thing. That's what you go for. And the last thing on your list was the Vizio 43-inch Class V Series 4K LED HDR Smart TV. And I think you said you found it for $290. I found it for $268.
Good.
Via our affiliate link. Of course, prices always change, right? So people's mileage will vary.
And I did round some of these off just to make it easy. So like if it was like $259, I would say $260.
Yeah.
I wasn't worried about
that. Well, when you have $5,000, why would you be?
Right.
I think this sounds like a really fascinating setup, and I think it's really going to just blow up your gaming.
Yeah, you know, I'm really interested. I'm actually very interested now to hear what other people do because mine's very purpose set for what I do, right? Mm-hmm. I really like to hear, so people who are war gamers, it'd be interesting to hear like what their setup sounds like.
So I've spoken to a few individuals about this prospect to see are they interested in doing it? And I was trying to get people from a variety of different types of gaming because I figured people might do like what you did was they would say, I tend to do this type of gaming for tabletop gaming and what would make this type of gaming better for me. And so I figured it would kind of give a nice spotlight into that sort of stuff. So I tried to get people from across the spectrum. And what most people have said to me is, how am I supposed to spend that much money? I think they were thinking like, how many gaming books could they buy? How many board games could they buy? And I kept on saying, think outside the box, right? It's whatever.
Like literally outside the box.
Yeah. Like what will enhance your gaming? Sure. How will it make it over for you?
I didn't buy a single game.
Yeah. Which is wild, but also you don't need to.
I don't.
And it kind of covers all the stuff that you have going on.
Yeah, this is so like gaming stuff. You know, I can buy. I can if a $60 game comes out, I can buy a $60 game. It's no big, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But to slap down, $1,800 for chairs, I don't have that. I don't just have $1,800 sitting in my pocket. You know what I mean? Like,
let me just go to the couch and get some loose change and buy these chairs.
Like I'm gonna tell you, the two couches I have in my basement, they actually belong. I'm storing them for somebody else. And they're fine with me using them, but they had them in their basement.
Yeah.
And their basement's musty, and they're like, they'd only had it in there a little while, and they're like, I'm afraid they're gonna get musty, and I'm gonna have to throw them out. And they're nice couches. They're really nice couches.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, do you have anywhere you could put them? And he's like, you can use them. He's like, I just don't want to get musty and go to waste. And I was like, yeah, I'll put them in my basement. So I put them in the basement and I told him, I was like, I'm going to use them for my gaming room. He's like,
that's awesome.
He's like, don't punch holes in them or anything like that. But like,
Well, forget it then.
Right. Yeah. If it's regular wear and tear, it's like, okay, that's fine. He's like, I just don't have anywhere to put them.
Mm-hmm.
So like, again, I didn't pay a dime for my seating arrangements now. I have a full size refrigerator in my basement. I got it at one of these auctions or something. I think it was like $40. It was like some, scratch and dent type place. Cause I didn't care. I was going to my gaming room. Right. So I got a full size refrigerator with a freezer and everything. So that's nice to have in there, but these little beverage cooler things, they're awesome. I was like, man, I'd love to have one of those.
I want one in my office at work.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sure. So
this is a fun exercise, Jonathan. Thank you.
I thought it might be kind of fun. Yeah. I was shocked that people would have a hard time with it, but I think they were more specifically focused on, what game would they buy or whatever. And a game's $80 or this or that or whatever. And
dude, they could buy some nice bookshelves to put their games on.
You could do all sorts of things.
Yeah. Buy an awesome light to go over your table, buy like a really cool, like hanging light to go over your table that you can, maybe buy a fancy dimmer switch that you can operate on your phone. The network, because I have one of those. I already have one of those. My gaming room. So I could sit there where we're gaming. I could sit there and turn the lights down.
Mood
light. I didn't need music. I don't like music when we play. Like, I know some people do. Some people like to have like music for ambiance and stuff. Yep. I've tried it, and for some reason, it's too distracting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game never moves at the pace of the music. Yeah, I'll play some exciting music while this exciting thing is going on. It's like, yeah, but the exciting music is going, and you're going, I'm going to add this to this. Yeah. And then I got this difficulty and the, you know,
true.
The music is going way faster than your game style. So I've always found it's a distraction. So I'm not going to, I didn't buy any speakers or any sound system.
No fog machines or black lights or.
But there are some people that do. So you remember Andre Krupa, right?
Yeah.
I know his spending would be a lot different than what I spent on.
Yep. And I think that's half the fun of this. Just kind of see what people would do and what it tells about them.
Sure. And Magic the Gathering, people who play like Magic or card games, any of those collectible card games, their setup's going to be different. They're not going to want a TV. Why would they want a TV? They would never use it.
Magic the Gathering online. No.
Yeah.
No, but not really.
No. And you're not going to have a TV at the end because you're not going to play Magic with somebody remotely. I don't think you can. Can you do that? I don't think you can.
Weird, you know, right? The last time I played was a long, long time ago.
Believe it or not, I've never played.
I have stuff going back to beta, and so that's a long time ago.
Do you have any old cards?
I do.
Are they in good condition?
Some are. I'm not sure that they're worth much of anything.
If you're not going to use them, you'd be surprised. If you're not going to use them and they're in good condition, a guy I work with sold all of his. Mm-hmm. He was basically like, you know what? He used to do Magic all the time, and he was like, yeah, I'm kind of done with Magic now. He's like, I loved it, but I'm kind of done. Yeah. He went and sold all his cards, and he had some old ones. He had a ton of old ones, but he had some really good ones. Dude, he made, I want to say, $40,000 on his collection.
That doesn't surprise me.
Like, or more, something like that. So, dude, if you're not going to use them, you should see what you can get for them.
What I should not do is what I did with all my old Pokemon cards, and that was put them in the recycling.
What's wrong with you? They're worth money. The old Pokemon cards are worth a ton of money.
At the time, they weren't. I was like, this is ridiculous. Why do I have these? I just want to get rid of them. Let's recycle them. And now I don't know if they were really any good, but I'm sure they're worth something now. People are going crazy for those.
Yeah, they are.
It's a different world. Hey, storage. Someone could spend their $5,000 on storing all their Magic the Gathering cards.
There you go.
Archival storage.
Yeah, you could do that too.
So if people want to stay up to date with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
All right. The best way to stay up to date with me would be to find
drive by your house twice a day. Like,
yeah, right. Come sit at my table. So the stuff that I do is all through Solarian Games. Everything I make and put out in the world is through Solarian Games. So you can go to Solarian Games on our Facebook page. That's where our most up-to-date current stuff, like if you want to follow what's going on, because we don't update our website very often. It's you know, nobody goes to websites anymore for news and stuff. I mean, I guess some people do, but most people do not. Most people get it through social media. So we have our Facebook page is where we make a lot of our announcements, and our Instagram page. So you can find Solarian Games, Facebook or Instagram. Then you can...
No TikTok?
No. I've been thinking about it, but only because... I personally don't like TikTok, but a lot of people do. So I've been like, man, do we need to crack the TikTok thing? Do we need to do this? Because maybe
all the kids
do.
Are using it.
I know. And we don't want to just apply to old people, old people like me and you. We want to bring in fresh young gamers. So I don't know. Maybe we'll do that. But currently we have and Twitter, and we have Solarian Games on Twitter. Okay. But we also have our site, our website, SolarianGames.com. We currently have Top Secret New World Order, which is our big, our flagship game. We got a bunch of other games coming, way too many that are like 95% done. We need to start finishing some stuff up. So we have, you know, Cube of Death is coming. And Jonathan, I don't know if you know this, I don't think I told you this, but we're going to change the name. We don't know what the name is yet. Yeah, we're going to change it. The name does not encompass like what it is. If you've never heard of it. You know what I mean? It's not a good marketing name. Like, I like the name. There's nothing wrong with the name. I think the name's awesome. But from a marketing standpoint, we're trying to sell it to people. Mm-hmm. And also, if we ever decide to put this on shelves and stores, it's going to be hard to get the store owner to put something called Cube of Death on their shelf that is a trivia game. Like,
true.
They're gonna be like, where does a disconnect here? So there's that. I mean, and that game is it's basically done. It's just been with COVID and the Chinese tariffs and the shipping clogs and all that kind of stuff. We've just decided to hold off on it because it's a physical product. It's not something we're going to, it's not a PDF product at all. And so there's just been all these challenges. It's been kind of like, you know what, let's just hold off. I want to do it right. So, so we've held off on production on that, but I think we're getting around to the point where we can actually reliably have it. So
that would
I think
we're
going to hit that soon. I've also been beta testing a new system called Razer.
Mm-hmm.
Razer is like a core system. It's none of the games are going to be called Razer. They run off the Razer system. And the first game that's going to come out for that is Moar, M-O-A-R, Blood, which is a skirmish game. So it's kind of half RPG, half board game. You basically enter an arena and kill each other. It's bloody and gruesome, and you get points for doing blowing people up and stuff like that. It's pretty crazy. It's wild. I run it at TotalCon every year. Mm-hmm. We're running all the beta versions of it, and it's basically this is gonna be the last beta that we do, and then after that we're putting a bow on it and putting it out.
Nice.
But it's fun. It's a fun, quick skirmish, like one shot type thing. But you get to make up characters, and I guess you could play them more than once if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But it's really kind of just built for, you know, kind of like one shots or playing at conventions. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, man. People go crazy. We're going to do a big 15 person event this year with it. Three different teams going at each other.
So that's huge.
Yeah, it should be wild. That's for like the really simple version of More Blood, of Razer. Razer's is a modular system. You can keep plugging stuff in and making it more and more complex and more interesting. So mm-hmm. if you like really light gaming, you can start with the basic version, and then you can add pieces in and make it more and more complex to your taste. And they're all compatible. So you can get all the way down to the old Grognards love, the really crunchy systems where you're calculating the wind velocity of, not really, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So it can get really complex for like, if you want to run like a really intense campaign. Let's see what else. We're working on a fun, like spoofy version of Top Secret. I don't know how much of that I'm allowed to talk about. I think, no, we've mentioned it at convention, so I can mention it. Hacknoia. So I don't know.
Oh, yes.
What was it? What is it? Comic? The Knights of the Dinner Table?
Yeah.
So one of the games they play in Knights of the Dinner Table is called Hacknoia, and it was a spoof of Top Secret back in the day, back the old school Top Secret. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with Merle to turn that spoof, like make that spoof a reality. So Hacknoia comes out of Knights of the Dinner Table, and we're also working with Jolly Blackburn. So I don't know when that's going to come out. That's been kind of on and off. We keep turning it on and off, like working on it, not working on it, working on it, not working on it. Mm-hmm. We got a new adventure coming out for Top Secret in the next couple of weeks.
Cool.
Called Forge with Fire. It's 100-page. It's going to be bigger than 100-page. Right now it's 100-page. I'm going through the first/final draft. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it? It's in layout right now.
Okay.
It's the first draft of the layout. So it's all written. It's all edited. It's all got all the artwork. We got all that stuff. Jason is laying it out now, and he sent me the first version of the first layout version. I'm just going through and like just giving it one last eyeball. And then once that's done, it'll go into final layout and then go out into the, let me think, what else is there? James is working on another game. That sounds kind of fun. I can't talk about that one other than just that. There's like three more other Razer games that are coming. James is doing, going to do Death Race Z in the Razer system, which is I don't remember the old movie Death Race 2000, where they're racing through the desert or racing through an area. And they're running people over with their cars and stuff to get points. You ever heard that thing where you're like driving on the road and like this person scores so many points? Like it all came from Death Race 2000, is where it all came. But you're not running over people, you're running over zombies. So you're like smashing through zombies and stuff.
Okay.
And you're shooting at each other too. So it's a racing skirmish type game. So there's that, and then there's a couple other Razer ones that I'm Grit and Grimoire. So beta tested that last year at TotalCon, which is again, it's going back to the whole skirmish idea where it's a kind of a one-shot thing, but it's a fantasy version of Moar Blood. So it's just for dungeon crawls. So it's not like, you don't have this character that you're going to take out into the world and go on adventures and decide, you know, moral things and say, you know, would our characters do this or whatever? No, you get your character sheet, you put a dungeon on the board, you put figures on the board, and you go. And you just kill things and take treasure.
Nice.
Couple card games. Jason's working on a card game called Kiss My Grits, this is completely different. I mean, this is I don't even know where this came from.
I'm really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it's in it, another one's almost done. Jason just needs to finish it. It's you basically are in a diner and you work at a diner and you're trying to fill people's orders. So you would get, you know, you get the little diner card that has your ticket, your little blue and white ticket where you're writing down if they're going to have eggs and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then you get cards. And you would get like, you know, you get like eggs and hash browns and whatever, and you're trying to fill out all these cards. You're trying to be the first one to fill out all your tables. Mm-hmm. And it sounds kind of silly, but it's fun. Like it looks like a lot of fun. I think that's all we got going on right this minute, you know, other than all the stuff we have in the hopper.
What do you think the next game will be to come out? You mentioned the next adventure is coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Forge of Fire is next. That's right on the next. And I want More Blood to be the next. Right after.
Okay.
Because we're going to, like I said, we're taking it to TotalCon. It's going to be the last run of it in public before we release it. It's ready. I'm 100% sure it's ready. I just want to give it one last little run before I put the stamp on it and go put it on the market. A campaign with that system with my friends, my local group, my personal group. I mean, we ran like a 6 or 7 month campaign with the system, and I was knocking out all the little knots and you know, like, oh God, that didn't work the way I wanted it to. And I'd go back and fix it. And we'd play the next time we played, I'd say, okay, here's the new version of that rule. And they were like, yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, been a lot of that.
Do you have any gaming events in your future?
I do. TotalCon. Going to TotalCon. Oh,
so that'll be the next one for you?
That's the next one I'm going to. I've been, all right. So nothing against masks and nothing against people wearing them or not wearing them or whatever. I don't care. Whatever. It's your personal choice. You do whatever you want. I personally do not like going to conventions and having to wear a mask. I'd rather just stay home. Mm-hmm. Like, no judgment on anyone or the convention or anything like that. Everybody does whatever they got to do for whatever reason. I'm good with that. But I honestly cannot stand to attend a convention and have to wear a mask. I'd rather just not go because it's so uncomfortable and I'm trying to run games. I can't hear anybody. They can't hear me. Just kind of like, you know what? It's just not fun. I'll catch you guys next year. So that's this last time at TotalCon sucked because of it. And it's not the con's fault. I mean, it is what it is. We're in the world mm-hmm. we're in, right? But it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like for me, Diet Coke, yeah. right? I hate diet sodas, hate them. No judgment against people who like them or whatever. You drink diet sodas, great, whatever you like. But I can't stand the taste. I would rather drink water.
Okay.
So it's sort of that kind of thing. It's like, all you have is Diet Coke, I'll have water.
I know that many people feel the same way that you do about these things, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. I know a lot of people have been having fun at these conventions and stuff, and they're cool. And, you know, and it's awesome that people can still get together, you know, even if they have to wear masks or whatever. But for me, it's just too much. I'm like, you know, and I don't want to do online conventions anymore either. Oh my God, Jonathan, I thought I would be fine with that. You know, because we're doing what we're doing, right? Like mm-hmm. I did all this podcast. We did tons of streaming. But I did an online convention and I was like, you know what? I don't like this either. I want to do this. I'm gonna sit at the table and game with my friends.
I know.
So TotalCon will be the next one I go to. And so long as there's no, like, I don't know, any more crazy pandemics or anything like that. I might go to Gen Con next year because it's looking like Solarian maybe gets an invite to go.
Cool.
So, and that's another thing. If I'm going to go to conventions, I want to promote our stuff. And mm-hmm. if the con doesn't feel that we're an ad to their convention enough to invite us, which is fine if we're not. But if they don't, then I kind of feel like, you know what, then we're not ready for that convention.
Yeah.
And we'll go next year maybe if we put out more product and make ourselves more viable in the industry, more of a draw. So
yeah.
That's it. That's all I got going on.
No, it has to be mutually beneficial.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I mean, we gotta be a bit, if they're gonna bring us out, we gotta bring something to the convention. And if we're not doing that, then don't invite us. All good. No, seriously, all good.
No, yeah. It's kind of I take a similar kind of line with going to conventions for the show here.
Yeah.
Where, like, if I'm going to it, it has to be worth it for everyone. And if it's not worth it for them to have us, then that's fine. I have no ill will, but right. There's only so much time, you know?
Yeah, there's so much time and so much money. I mean, these things cost money to go to.
Yeah.
Not cheap. I would rather put that money into making product and get product mm-hmm. out. You know, it's got to be a return on investment. Like, do I get anything out of going to this convention other than having fun?
No.
And if I don't, then I'm not going to go. But, you know, hey, I went to Gen Con 1 year just for fun. I wasn't promoting anything. I just went to have fun. Same thing with Dragon Con. Every year I've gone to Dragon Con, they don't bring me out. They don't have any. I mean, and I don't add anything to their conventions. So there's no reason for them. Mm-hmm. But I would go to that for fun. I haven't gone in the last couple of years just because it's a hall. And it's like after you've done it a couple of years, kind of like, yeah, you know, it's really fun. But they're all, I mean, it's Dragon Con. It's all the same. So
yeah.
Take a little break for a while. Maybe enjoy it next time.
That's okay.
Yeah. I might go to Balticon this year too. That's a little ways off. That's like Labor Day. So
yeah, I know that's one that you enjoy though.
I do, but it's in my backyard. It's easy. I just drive.
True. It. No, so it's an easy one to do.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got.
Cool.
Well, hopefully you guys like Solarian games and our stuff, and just keep an eye out. We got a lot, like I said, we got a lot of stuff that's like 95%. We just got to stop screwing around with the breadth and focus on the depth. Can just take some of these stuff and push them over the line.
And well, one of the things I learned with podcasting is sometimes you just got to finish something. It may not be perfect. It might not be what you had completely envisioned, but just get it done, because then it makes it easier to do the next one and to do the one after that. And
I think Jason and I both need to get on Adderall. No, because, you know, it's the whole ADD thing where you create, you get like 15 yeah. things at 95%, but none of them are done.
No, yeah, that's true.
So,
well, I want to remind everyone that they can find us on all the things as Wargaming Recon. We are everywhere, including in the smart TV that Peter is going to be getting to put in his custom build table there. You'll just be able to see us there staring at you while you're playing your games. You're like, why are they here? We didn't invite them. Can we block them? It's a smart TV. Apparently not smart enough. It couldn't figure it out, but that's okay. Thank you so much for joining today, Peter. Really, I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for making me the first one to do this little exercise. It's great. And if you guys buy anything, use Jonathan's affiliated link. It helps the show.
Costs you nothing.
Costs you nothing.
Except for what you're paying for, but they don't charge extra for it or anything.
Right.
So that's always a nice thing. Be sure to check out SolarianGames.com and all the cool things there. You can pick up some cool stuff and just see all the new things that are coming out. I can't wait for many of the products, of course, but I can't wait for whatever Cube of Death becomes in its name and for that to come out. That's one that I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'd like that one to be right after More Blood. That would be good.
That would be nice.
We just got to figure out the...
Which is awful right now. It's so, so bad. I don't envy you having to deal with that.
Yeah, physical products are harder. They're a lot harder than like stuff that can be PDF or print on demand or whatever. Those are so much easier to deal with. It's getting a physical product printed nowadays, it's not impossible. I mean, we can do it. It's just a pain in the butt.
That's all. No, it's... I'm glad I don't do it. I'm glad I do this. Right. And I don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. Well, thank you very much for joining today. And thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. And thank you again. Really appreciate you taking this time to be here. So no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much time you're thinking, what can I build out of 80/20 extruded aluminum? You know that you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Thank you to everyone who backed our 2021 podcast season on Kickstarter. In particular, we'd like to thank 3DDZYN at 3ddesign.com, Nate Taylor of Dwarven Forge, and Things from the Basement, where you can get highly detailed laser-cut terrain kits for 28, 20, and 15mm figures and other exciting products. We couldn't have been successful without the help of all of you. Thank you so much for your support and being part of our community. We hope you are enjoying the 2021 season. Sorry. This always happens.
It's all right.
No, it's good.
It's editable.
Well, see, the thing is, when I go crazy like this, Joshua just takes it and shoves it in the end. And people really enjoy it.
Easy phrasing.
They love when just crazy shenanigans happen.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's not like I haven't been doing this for 17 years where I should be able to do this right. Right?
Or that you're doing it with somebody who's been doing it for nearly as long.
Oh, man. Okay, there we go.